the gay mafia behind the sex abuse crisis in Roman Catholicism. Now, this is not a typical subject for us to tackle in the Reformation Society, but it is the kind of subject that one does need to tackle with good Christian journalism, the story behind the story. This is an Africa Christian Action concern, pro-life, pro-family, pro-moral, fighting for faith and freedom. So we have just today received back from the printer The Rise of the Gay GB and the Pink Inquisition book, which has been a project long in the making. We produced the Pink Agenda book 17 years ago, and that was the first book in the New South Africa to get banned. And we got it unbanned also after lots of objections. It was quite a battle. The Pink Agenda book was damned as the worst homophobic hate speech ever published by the head of the Gay and Lesbian Equality Project, Evert Knirsten, who is also a member of the Publications Control Board, before the book had come out and before he had seen a page of it. So he somehow, by discernment, maybe through his crystal ball, he knew it was the worst homophobic hate speech before he had read any of it. And so he called for it to be banned. Then the Publications Control Board, which is part of, banned it. Then he praised the Publications Control Board for banning it. Talk about conflicts of interest. And anyway, we got it unbanned by the appeal board very effectively. And this includes the whole updated Pink Agenda of 17 years ago, which we're totally out of. We've got no copies, well, aside from two copies and the mission for reference. It's totally sold out. So when this project was coming up with this conference this weekend, we knew we had to get it done in time, but I didn't want to just reprint. We want to update, expand. And this is quite a job. But Colin and Taryn and I worked at it, and this now is 258 pages. We've added a whole lot more chapters. We've updated especially the contact lists and the resources, and it's now got over 90 pictures, cartoons, and posters in it. And one of the chapters in it is the gay mafia behind the sex abuse crisis in Roman Catholicism. So tonight what I'm going to do is basically presenting one of the chapters in this new book. Why are we dealing with this? Professor Martin Luther declared, "If I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." This is one of these battles we would prefer not to be involved in, but the loyalty of the soldier is proved by being willing to tackle even unpleasant battles when you have to. The sex scandals tolerated and covered up for so many years within Roman Catholic institutions are indeed terrible scandals. However, there's an even bigger scandal behind it. Father Edwin Pulker, a Roman Catholic parish priest in Tampa, Florida, writes that there is a gay mafia at work within Roman Catholicism to punish, humiliate, and blackmail decent, God-fearing priests if they threaten to blow the whistle on the endemic cycle of abuse within the Roman Catholic system. Notice I don't use the word church, and if I do, it'll be a small c, because I don't believe Roman Catholicism is a true church. By the way, definition of a cult from any dictionary: a cult or a sect is a religious group that claims that they are the sole way of salvation, that if you're outside of their membership, you can't be saved. We recognize the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses as cults. I have always maintained that Catholicism is a cult because they maintain there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church claims to be the only true church, and therefore, by definition, they are a cult, a far more serious and more deadly cult than the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses ever could be. Still quoting from Father Edwin Pulker, "Many people still do not understand just how evil the activist homosexual priests and bishops are. They cannot possibly grasp the hellish depths to which these clergy will go to persecute, lambaste, punish, humiliate, and blackmail anyone who stands in their way or threatens their way of life." Another whistleblower, Father Edwin Pulker, He's written that the gay mafia is carrying out a reign of terror on good priests to teach the truth about homosexuality. An associate professor of religious studies at the John Carroll University warned that in the United States Catholic churches, the percentage of priests who are homosexual could be as high as 50%. That would be roughly 16 times or 1,600% more than the percentage of gay people within the general population. That's insane. Just for those who don't understand, let's explain the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. At the bottom, you get the laity. Then you get the deacons, who are there to aid the priest for the masses. Then you get the priests, who service one congregation. Then you get the bishops, who preside over a diocese, which has many parishes. And then you get archbishops, who serve over several dioceses. And then you get cardinals, of which there's 193 worldwide, or at the time of this chart it was. And then you get one pope, theoretically, ideally. Although there have been times when they've had two and three popes in the world excommunicating one another and waging war. But since the Reformation, since the Council of Constance, there's only been one pope at a time. Except now. Right now you've got two living popes, because Pope Benedict is alive, but he abdicated, which is almost unheard of. But anyway, this is the theory, this is the hierarchy, that's the way it works. So, bishops, archbishops, cardinals, pope. They're the top. Seriously hierarchical. Father Darius Oko, in his 2013 essay on clerical homosexuality with the Pope against homoheresy, Pope Benedict authorized him to produce this. He reported that homosexual priests and bishops have abused seminarians. A seminarian is a priest in training. Unlike our people, they're not civilians attending college in preparation. They have come in already. They're under the serious discipline. They're living under all the discipline of it, sort of like in a monastery, so to speak. So a seminarian is a priest in training. He reported that the homosexual priests and bishops have abused seminarians, teenagers and children, and that there's a gay mafia at work within Catholicism protecting these predators. In an interview with LifeSite News, which is a major pro-life news network in America, he reported about 30 to 40% of the priests and 40 to 50% of the bishops in the USA have homosexual inclinations. Polker reports that the gay mafia's power over the future priest begins in seminary. Students who enroll with the intention of being trained to be priests are required to provide a great deal of personal details, including their history with chastity, sexual activity, criminal activities, their fears, their dreams, their hopes, and their concerns. The longer student stays in seminary, the thicker his file grows. It continues to grow after his ordination, and as the highly centralized Catholic hierarchy maintains files on each of their priests and members, that could only be rivaled by the KGB of the Soviet Union. Not since the KGB has there been anything like it. These people have an intelligence network. They've got a database. They've got information on all their priests and members, which the KGB would have loved to have had an efficiency that good. Plus, you add the confessional. Tremendous amount of information. And much of this information is in the hands of the KGB, as we call them, and the Pink Inquisition, which often abuses this confidential information for nefarious, malicious purposes. Polker lays out various real-life scenarios, such as a priest who struggles with his own homosexual urges, wanting to remain chaste and live out his vows of chastity, how he can be manipulated by the homosexual bishops and set up to fail. Suppose a priest's file reveals that as a teen he was sexually abused by an adult male, and as a result of this formative abuse, he struggled with homosexual desires as an adolescent into his early adulthood, but he always remained chaste. Now, once ordained a priest, he spoke out fervently against the acceptance or promotion and legalization of homosexual activity and other sins. His homosexual activist bishop, knowing his past, having access to his file, makes him a Boy Scout chaplain, where he will be working closely with the bishop's hand-picked, openly active homosexual lay, diocesan scout leaders, deacons and so on, hoping and even encouraging him to finally fail and fall to his boyhood abuse, giving in to his homosexual desires, to sexual abuse, and he may abuse one or more of the scouts. This is not just a scenario. This has happened multiple times. It is not just the homosexual priests who can be manipulated in this way. A heterosexual priest who has been sexually active before being ordained and who dares to speak out against homosexuality could similarly be assigned to be the chaplain of a girls' high school in the hope that he'll succumb to temptation. And they set them up to fail. They organize honey trap sets. Polka writes that the gay mafia are not at all above exploiting the seal of the confessional. Now, a Roman Catholic priest is meant to be willing to go to jail rather than reveal what he learnt in the confessional, but this is abused. Many of them abuse it. And they can threaten and manipulate decent priests into silence and even pick up priests to commit homosexual acts with them using the confessional and other means to do it. This is what we mean by the gay mafia. These men know the way the church works and they use that knowledge for their own evil ends. They have embraced evil. There is a huge difference between a weak man striving for holiness and a man who sold his soul to the devil. And that's all a quote from this Catholic lay priest. Many in the Catholic Church have sold their souls to the devil, he says, and we see the evidence. There were some accusations of molestation by Catholic priests dating back to the 1950s. Significant media attention began to pick up these scandals in the 1980s, particularly in the United States and in Canada. And here you can see some of the statistics of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. You've got substantiated or unsubstantiated, the darker being the unsubstantiated, the substantiated being the lighter ones. And so you can see we're talking about in the hundreds per year that the Catholic Bishops Conference have investigated. This going up to 2012, hundreds. In 1995, when the Archbishop of Vienna, Austria, stepped down amid sexual abuse allegations, the issue began to grow. Stories emerged in Argentina, Australia, and elsewhere. By the late 1990s, revelations began of serious widespread abuse in Ireland, the Catholic stronghold. When I've been in the mission field, if I meet a Catholic missionary, he's almost certainly from Ireland. I mean, Ireland has been the mission-sending base of the Catholic Church. This is Cardinal Hans Hermann Gruhe, who was in Vienna after the accusations were reported and before his resignation. A Church Commission report in 2004 revealed that more than 4,000 Roman Catholic priests in the United States of America had faced sexual abuse allegations in the previous 50 years. These cases involved more than 10,000 boys. Now, if this is what's revealed, it's the tip of the iceberg. It's like if you see a rat, there's 10. If you see two rats, there's 100. I mean, when you start this is huge. A 2009 report in Ireland found sexual and psychological abuse endemic in Catholic-run schools and orphanages. Now, these are the most vulnerable children possible in an orphanage. In June 2018, a former Vatican diplomat was sentenced to 5 years in prison for possessing child pornography. Pope visiting Ireland, of course, over this cloud. Now, here's just a few odd snippets. In the United States, between 5,700 and 10,000 Catholic priests have been accused of sexual abuse. Now, remember, you're innocent until proven guilty. Not all these cases will be factual. Some will be false. But nevertheless, there's obviously a lot there. And they settled, this church settled for 5,678 alleged victims. 15,000 allegations were received. Estimates of the victims could range as high as 100,000. Australia, dealing with survivors of child abuse, 5,000 survivors. It included victims of Catholic clergy, but of course it was in the government schools even worse. But that's not our concern right now. In fact, in America, let's state that there's more abuse in government schools than there is in the Catholic Church, even percentage-wise and statistically, but I mean, that's not our concern right now. In Netherlands, tens of thousands abused, over 800 suspects identified. May 2014, the Vatican's UN envoy says 3,400 abuse cases had been handled by the Catholic Church in the previous 10 years. Of those, 848 priests had been defrocked. a further 2,572 were ordered to live a life of prayer or penance, which isn't quite the same thing as prosecution. Belgium, thousands of potential cases. Ireland, 14,500 children reported having been victims of abuse by clergy. And you can carry on. Bad. Now, between 2004 and 2012, the U.S. Catholic Church spent $2.6 billion. Now, that's not Zimbabwe dollars. That's American dollars. $2.6 billion. That's more than the budgets of most countries in the world on settling sexual abuse cases in court or out of court. And this includes therapy for victims, support for offenders, attorney costs, and so on. This includes how many widows' mites? Where's this money coming from? An American grand jury report noted a pattern of homosexual predation, being predators, in the U.S. Catholic Church, beginning in seminaries, culminating in a college of cardinals. The grand jury's opening statement, there have been other reports about child sex abuse within the Catholic Church, but never on this scale. For many of us, those earlier reports happened someplace else, somewhere else, away. Now we know the truth, it happened everywhere. At least 300 predator priests are named in a grand jury report accused of committing horrific sexual abuse over 7 decades. The number of the victims, at least 1,000. Now this is one state in America. This is in Pennsylvania. The harrowing 887-page document is a result of a 2-year grand jury investigation into widespread sexual abuse of children within 6 dioceses of the Catholic Church just in Pennsylvania alone. That's one of 50 states in America. In an overwhelming majority of cases, the delinquent clergy were homosexual predators preying on adolescent or young adult males. The victims were frequently older boys or seminarians. For example, Father Mario Catella purchased homosexual pornography on church computers. Catella's rectory computer was overflowing with homosexual pornography, which was used to groom young boys and prepare them for abuse. Most of the priests investigated targeted post-pubescent teenage boys, normally between 15 and 17 years old. So when we speak about child, remember child, by definition, can include anyone under 18. And so, in most cases, most people are imagining child sexual abuse, a male priest, a female child, but actually, this is a homosexual scandal overwhelmingly, and it's mostly male-on-male, and it's older people with older teenagers. That's the actual overwhelming majority of cases we're dealing with right now. And the media's not giving that out, because they're trying to cover up for the homosexual, make it a church scandal where it's actually a homosexual scandal, first and foremost. Take Monsignor Carlo Alberto Capella, sent to prison for possessing and distributing child pornography. Glad something's still illegal. Monsignor William Lynn, former church official jailed for handling of priest sexual abuse complaints, emerged from a bail hearing in Philadelphia 2014. Philadelphia being in Pennsylvania as a result of this grand jury investigation. Cardinal Hans Hermann Willem Grohe abused an estimated 2,000 boys for decades without sanction. This is the Austrian cardinal from Vienna. So there's all kinds of books that are exposing the altar of secret sex, politics, and money in the Philippine Catholic Church. In Honduras, 48 seminarians wrote to the bishops in July protesting a homosexual epidemic in the seminary. That's July 2018. This followed months of allegations involving homosexual abuse of seminarians by the auxiliary bishop, Jean José Pinedi. In Chile, all 34 Roman Catholic priests were summoned to Rome after revelations of a gay priest sex ring involving priests and supervisors, bishops and supervisors. All 34 Roman Catholic bishops in Chile offered to resign in the wake of the child sex scandal and cover-up. Protests on the ground in Chile. Pope Francis expressed his pain and shame on Tuesday over sexual abuse scandal in the Catholic Church in Chile, asking for forgiveness. Theodore McCurrick, retired Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., was forced to step down after seminarians and priests accused him of decades of homosexual predation. McCurrick called those undischarged nephews and asked them to call him Uncle Ted. Now, this man was so high up, and there's a major mega scandal coming out about this. This is one of the biggest of them all, because the present Pope Francis knew about this and covered up for him. Cardinal Theodore McCarrick is alleged to have sexually abused a minor 47 years ago when he was a priest, and he only resigned just very recently. The Vatican asked retired Washington, D.C. Archbishop Cardinal Theodore McCarrick to cease public ministry after finding his credibly accused of sexually abusing a teenager. Well, it's a much, much, much more than that. And the top Vatican, they call him a nuncio, that's an ambassador. He was the Vatican's ambassador to the United States. He has written a letter saying that Pope Francis knew about this for years, and he's not theorizing about it, because he, being in charge of investigating these things in America and covering up and so on, he reported it and gave a report to Pope Francis directly, personally. He knows that Pope Francis knows about it, and he knows that the Pope didn't do anything about it. He knows that he is covering up from and protecting this predator priest. And this chap is responsible for colossal amounts. And he speaks about a massive conspiracy of silence within the Vatican that is not dissimilar from that which prevails within the mafia. And again and again, the whole document just on this man, we're talking about colossal amounts. The way it's described by this nuncio, this now retired ambassador for the Vatican, that he said this McCarrick had around him an entire homosexual predator gang who would groom and promote the boys who submitted to sodomy, and those who didn't were either kicked out or given the most humble and menial tasks. It was a totally homosexual gang set up. And this was done for decades. And Pope Francis knew about it, and nobody in the Vatican did anything about this predator being allowed to be a top prelate in the most important diocese imaginable. Pope protected pedophile priests, is putting it mildly. So what do you get for protecting Vatican bishops from child sex abuse investigations? You get sainted. Now they're talking about Pope John Paul II, because he protected the same character, McCarrick. And as far as Benedict, some people are putting here, he's not the Messiah, pretty some people can't spell. 666, very naughty boy, you get the message. So Roman Catholics say there are three reasons for sexual scandals. First, a denial of the Christian faith. The clerics concerned are secretly atheists, agnostics, or even Satanists who see the church as a social justice network that pays well, provides a lifestyle of insurance, income, retirement, unquestioned access to compromised men and vulnerable children. So, just like the Middle Ages, atheists hijack the church, or Satanists. And homosexuality. Already in 2004, 80% of priest abuse victims are male, and the orientation abuse overwhelmingly homosexual. So this is overwhelmingly a homosexual scandal, and the media is acting like it's just a church scandal and obscuring the facts. In fact, as Father Darius Oko has suggested, 50% of bishops in the United States are homosexual or homosexual inclined. And then the evolution of the mega diocese has become something where they have got phenomenal powers and they're basically unaccountable. So there's been all kinds of exposés now how the Catholic Church has been not only involved in sexual abuse but forcing nuns and others to have abortions. Now, we would have thought the Catholic Church is rock solid pro-life, but not really, actually. We know it because when Pope John Paul II came to South Africa in 1996, while I'm not pro-Catholic ever, it was one time I was actually quite happy that he's come because we knew the Pope is so pro-life and our Catholic pro-life friends were so excited because at that moment the ANC was moving to legalize abortion as they did on the 1st of February 1997. And so this visit by Pope John Paul in 1996 we thought was ideal opportunity to derail ANC's abortion plans in the country. I mean, what a perfect opportunity. The Pope would have the world's attention, first visit of the Pope to South Africa, and he could have just had Mandela completely and utterly flawed publicly. Who could have stopped him? And our friends in the Catholic Church were super excited. We were excited. They're sure that the information was in the hands of John Paul. And John Paul said nothing, nada, zero, not a word about abortion. Worse than that, he served the mass to Mandela, who's an apostate Methodist, who's an atheist, and to F.W. de Klerk, who's meant to be reformed, deformed, I would say. But if any priest of the Catholic Church had served a non-Roman Catholic who hadn't gone through confirmation or rest, he could be excommunicated. For that matter, any Reformed Church should have excommunicated any Reformed member who took the Mass from the Pope, or any Roman Catholic Mass. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's a sacrilege. They're claiming they're re-sacrificing Christ, which is directly against the teachings of the Scriptures. But nevertheless, the Pope gave these pro-aborts about to legalize abortion in this country the Mass from his own hand, not even delegated through one of his bishops or cardinals or priests or something. The Pope gave them the Mass. And Mandela, why did he even take it? Who knows? But the Pope left our shores without saying a word. And I remember I didn't even have the heart to say anything to Catholic pro-lifers. They were devastated. They thought he had come in as the champion of pro-life, but it shows he's a spineless, yellow-bellied coward. The Roman Catholic Church is not really pro-life. It's an act. If they were pro-life, they'd do it when it counted. But we'll get to more of that just now. The Catholic Church owns abortion industries and owns abortifacient pharma companies that are providing abortion pills and so on. So it's much more evil than it looks. You've got all kinds of exposés, all kinds of scandals. I mean, how often haven't we seen this? But dealing with the devil is exactly what you're talking about. Abuse victims are now rising up to challenge the church, something you couldn't have done before in days of mass media. But now we've got social media, we've got decentralized. And this scandal is not new. It's that the victims have access to social media that these things are coming out, because it was covered up by the powers that be who controlled the media in the past. So the church allowed the abuse by the priests for years. What typically happened is they routinely covered up child sexual abuse. So when it came out, for example, this McCormack, they said there were reports already in the 90s. They've known about this for decades. There were documented reports proving him guilty of a pattern of predation, as they call it. And they covered it up. In most cases, if the scandal came out, they'd move him to another country or another diocese where they could start all over again, grooming a whole lot of new people. Phenomenal. Outrageous. Millions and millions and billions paid to victims of abuse. Many cases, hush money. We'll give you this amount if you sign a non-disclosure and so on and so forth. But when you think of these, you think of the widow's mite who's putting money in the offering plates. How would they know that, you know, some of this is going to pornography, others are going to abortion, and others are going to legal costs to hush up for sexual abuse? How do you justify that? Long road to accountability. And by the way, we've got in Rome right now, well, when I say we, I'm talking very metaphorically, the first Jesuit pope. The Jesuits, by the way, are like the KGB of the Vatican. They always have been. The Vatican has had their shock troops of the Jesuits. The Jesuits are the unquestioning loyalty. They are the people who will do the hits, the assassinations. The Jesuits have been proven to have been involved in everything from revolutions, assassinations, right down to assassinating Prince William of Orange, after whom the Orange Free State and Orange River is named. The father of Dutch liberties, he was assassinated by a Jesuit priest. And you could continue with many examples like that. They will do everything down to getting nuns trained for sexual entrapment of Protestants and Pentecostals in Bible colleges. That's how low they go. So, where are most of the Roman Catholics? Well, here you can see Latin America's got 40% of the world's Catholics. You've got 1.2 billion Catholics in the world. So, as you can see, Africa's really important. 15% of the world's Catholics are in Africa. Interesting that you don't get, in Europe, it's only 24%. Europe might have been where Catholicism started, but Latin America is where the power is. That's why they've got a Latin American pope right now. Where the countries of most Catholics? Well, of course, Brazil, and then Mexico, then the Philippines. America's got the fourth largest amount of Catholics in the world. Now, the United States began as a Protestant country. So only in the 1800s, they started to allow Catholics in, mostly from Ireland. And that changed the face of America from being a very Protestant country to being a very Catholic country. And you can see the difference. Italy, of course, fifth largest, France, sixth, and so on. Colombia, Spain, Poland, Argentina. Okay, alleged offenses. Now you start seeing how the offenses grew and so on, and this is the reported numbers. So sex abuse scandals, they started, this is several years ago, but it just shows, okay, mostly this is coming out in the United States, over 10,000 in the United States, 4,000 Australia, versus 300 in Ireland at the time, 300 in Belgium, 300 in Germany, 300 in Canada. So this is mostly an Australia-United States phenomenon, or is it? Is it just because they've got more access to media to expose it there? Now, here you've got where bishops have resigned, Roman Catholic bishops resigned in connection with sex scandals. This is spreading. And again, estimated Catholic population. Notice that how much of the richest countries in the world have got Catholics. Catholics somehow, they sweep up a lot of the rich people into the top part. Costs related to allegations combined total. So we're talking about over here. Look at the grand totals. It's phenomenal. Therapy for victims, support for offenders, attorneys' fees, and so on. This is going into the millions and the billions. Billions. It's just absolutely staggering. Price tag. You know, can you? How do you justify this kind of expense? When you think there's 100 million churchgoers in Africa who don't have a copy of a Bible yet. And they can afford to do this. Now, interesting, Roman Catholics have said that the new pope, meaning Francis, the most important priority should be addressing abuse scandal, which is 70%. That's more than any other concern. Not that he has. Sexual misconduct, by the way, just to remind you, this is now not talking about the churches, just talking about American schools. American schools and teachers. Well, we don't even have to look at America. It's not like we don't have those scandals here. Oprah Winfrey even had a school which was being run by abusers and so on. So, you know, this is pervasive, but nevertheless, we're focusing tonight specifically on Catholic Church. And so Pope Francis offered early retirement to a priest caught raping children and asked him to have a life of prayer and humble discretion. Well, I think hard labor in a maximum security prison like Devil's Island would be a good sentence. And yes, Catholic Church covered the tracks of predator priest. No crime more vile, no pope more responsible. That's actually true. Pope protects pedophile priests. This is like a Baptist must have done this one. All alliteration here. That's pretty good signage. And so this Pope Francis, do you remember when he first came out, how Joy magazine was putting him on the cover and people, this pope is the best. And at the time I registered, this man is the worst pope they've ever had. And yet the people are falling over themselves. Kenneth Copeland, others going, calling him his holiness. This pope is an enabler, a protector of pedophile priests. Put the pope on trial. Pope resign. In 2002, the John Jay College of Criminal Justice studied the crisis of priestly sex abuse in the United States and produced in its report in 2004, 80% of the abuse at issue was of a homosexual nature. Clerical sexual abuse. Eminent Catholic author Father Dwight Longnecker noted that the social and sexual problems have theological roots. In treating priests who have engaged in pedophilia and ephenbophilia, do you know what that means?
No.
That is a term I never knew about before this week. That is those who aren't going for children, but post-pubescent older teenagers. In other words, between 15 and 17 year olds. So it's it's not exactly child abuse, but technically you can call it child abuse, and some of them wanting to define that. But most of this is homosexual sex with post-pubescent boys. So it's straight homosexual abuse. But so as to avoid the word paedophilia, they've now separated paedophilia to pre-pubescent and then this ephebophilia. Sorry? Ephebophilia. Thank you. Ephebophilia. That is now for after puberty. We've observed that these men, almost without exception, suffered from a denial of sin in their lives. Now, what is one of the most basic principles of Way of the Master, Living Waters, Evangelism, Ten Commandments-based evangelism? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law is the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, that we can be justified by faith. Law to the proud, grace to the humble. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? When a person says, yes, I'm a very good person, you know they're unsaved. They need more law until their conscience assails them and they recognize, I'm not a good person. I'm a hell-deserving sinner. Until a person's ready to recognize, I am lost and damned, and outside of Christ, I will be damned to an eternity in hell justly. Until they're ready to acknowledge that, they're not even ready to hear the gospel. They are not saved while they're justifying their sins. So, now this is a Catholic author saying we have theological roots to this problem because the people we're dealing with deny their sin. This is a sign of an unregenerate soul. Well, not that that surprised us to find this in Catholicism, but this is a Roman Catholic pointing this out. You get unbelievable books like this, How the Homosexual Saved Civilization, the true and heroic story of how gay men shaped the modern world. As you can see, the world is being saved. It's getting better and better all the time. You feel safer and all. Yeah, well, as you can see from the picture, what's upside down? Traditional family. The nuclear family. You know, mom and dad, male and female, married with children, and saving the world from that. Because what's so evil about straight men, married men, fathers, mothers, homemakers, parents? Well, they're overpopulating the world. We don't need that. What we need is gays and perverts. They're saving the world. Make sense? Well, if you're on drugs, maybe. Now, these abusive priests rejected the church's teachings on sexual immorality and they adopted a utilitarian sexual ethic. Utilitarian sexual ethic. Basically, it's self-justifying, like hedonism. Me, myself, and I. If it feels good, do it. Follow your heart. You know, that sort of thing. Utilitarian sexual ethic. Above all, the predator priests had come to see their own pleasure as the highest end and use others, including as adolescents and children, as sexual objects. This is our society. This is the gospel of Hollywood. This is the gospel of Harvey Weinstein. This is exactly what our universities and schools and media are promoting all the time. You deserve it. You're special. You're a good person. What makes you happy is the most important thing. Follow your heart. If it feels good, do it. It can't be bad if it feels so good, and so on and so forth, right? They consistently refuse to examine their consciences, to accept the church's teachings on moral issues as a guide for their personal actions, or regularly avail themselves of the sacrament of penance. In other words, to take away the Catholic terminology, they don't repent. They're unrepentant. These priests either refuse to seek spiritual direction or choose a spiritual director or confessor who openly rebels against church teaching on sexuality. This is very insightful. A person who is repentant will take counsel, will take teaching, will be repentant, will do restitution. They will put themselves under discipline. They'll be open and confess. A person who's unregenerate will seek counselors or confessors who are going to reinforce their self-justification. And this is what you get with the average psychologist today. The average psychologist, it's not your fault. I mean, the one who's paying the psychologist for the interview. It's never your fault. It's your mother's fault. It's your father's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the policeman's fault. Society's fault. It's everyone's fault except yours, you know, your wife's or your husband's, depending on what the case is, boyfriend, girlfriend. So, but if the other person comes in it also won't be their fault, even though they were the ones to blame this person, because nothing's ever our fault. A psychologist wrote about this in 1973, saying, "Whatever Happened to Sin?" It's the title of his book, where everything's someone else's fault, nothing's my personal responsibility. This is the hedonistic ethic of the existentialist age. The sexual abuse crisis in the Roman Catholic Church is a criminal scandal, yes, but it also has theological roots. They even admit that. Almost 500 years ago, the great German reformer Professor Martin Luther warned, "I'm much afraid that schools will prove to be wide gates to hell, unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and graving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not constantly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt." And they have been. It's either Scripture at the heart, or it will become corrupt. Now, what is at the heart of Roman Catholicism? It's clear that not only does the Roman Catholic Church welcome unregenerate students into the seminaries, but teaching the Scriptures and proclaiming the Gospel is hardly any kind of priority to them, if they do it at all. Hence, by failing to engrave the Scriptures in the hearts of their students, they have become corrupt. The Roman Catholic Church has been hijacked by pagans for a very long time. So what do you see lifted up in Catholic institutions? Is it the Bible? No, it's idols. Is this idolatry? This is Mariolatry. Is Jesus a baby in the hands of Mary now? No. We have an empty cross in our churches, reminding us Jesus has risen from the dead. He's not on the cross. A crucifix is not appropriate in the Protestant church. And a statue of Mary, even less so. What is he about to do? Kiss the feet of the statue. What idolatry, Roman Catholics say. I don't know about you, but this looks pretty idolatrous to me. Flowers around a statue, raised an idol, and it's on an altar. And what on earth is he doing? He's swinging some incense thing. Do you see that incense being swung there? Smells and bells, as we called it. And here, swaying the incense around this idol of the baby Jesus. He hasn't been a baby for 2,000 years. Okay, pretending that you're kissing people's feet and doing some foot washing doesn't change the fact that this character is not a humble character. And kissing idols and all this, I don't know about you, but that's repugnant. And making saints of people who didn't think you need to preach a gospel, well, I don't know. Making saints of Mother Teresa, honestly. Okay, let's just take Bishop T.D. Jakes' statement on the death of Pope John Paul II. His Holiness, John Paul II, was truly a dedicated and courageous messenger of God. His legacy will be a model that all of us should follow. His Holiness was not only a leader of the church, but also a leader of the world. Gee, this is Antichrist talk. His life was an example everyone can learn from. His mission to spread the good news of faith throughout the world and his dedication to human rights was an inspiration. Well, you certainly couldn't say to the gospel. And this is the Popemobile. Francis had the opportunity to visit and speak to the prostitutes and tax collectors of the U.S. Congress. I mean, was there ever a more vile collection of scum and villainy? Well, outside the United Nations, that is. And what did he deal with? Global warming. He didn't say a word against gay marriage. He didn't say a word against the 63 million babies killed by abortion. You would have thought a pro-life leader would at least stand for life begins at conception, abortion is murder. I mean, how difficult is it to say that? He could have slipped that into his message somewhere. No, the man never even mentioned it. He never mentioned Jesus in the Congress of the United States. He's speaking to all the Senate and Congress House assembled. He didn't pray. He didn't call the people to repentance. He didn't present the gospel. He didn't call people to faith in Christ. He spoke like a modern secular humanist. And he spoke as though all the world's problems could be solved without Christ. So who's he representing? The New World Order. And look at this kind of adoration. I mean, I don't know what you think, but This looks to me like hero worship. Christ did not die for the Pope to be glorified. Christ did not redeem his church with his blood that the Pope may come and steal away the glory. He is not the vicar of Christ, the mouthpiece of Christ on earth. Christ has always been the head of the church. This is a quote from Charles Spurgeon. The thing is, for him to call himself Christ's representative or vicar on earth, his mouthpiece, is blasphemy. Westminster Confession 25:6. There is no other head of the church but the Lord Jesus Christ, nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but is that Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, that exalts himself in the church against Christ and against all that is called God. This is standard Presbyterian Reformed doctrine. Westminster Confession, straight down the line. All Protestant evangelical Christians have recognized through the centuries the papacy is Antichrist. And today we've got Christians talking about, like Rick Warren said, the Pope is not just the Pope of the Roman Catholic, he's the Pope of all Christians. Speak for yourself, buddy, not for me. Not my Pope. Jesus taught no one is good except God alone. We are to call no one on earth Father. God alone is our spiritual Father. How can any Pope be called His Holiness or the Holy Father? The term Holy Father is only used once in the Bible, John 17:11, and it's clearly addressed to God the Father in Christ's prayer. How on earth can we now take Holy Father and use it as Protestants? Holy Father, Your Holiness. No, that is blasphemous. That is spinelessness. This is also symptomatic of a civil war raging in the Catholic Church. On one side are the traditionalists who insist that abuse can be prevented by tight adherence to church doctrine. And on the other side are the liberals demanding that the church stop condemning sexual acts and allow gay priests to step out of the closet. One thing that has surprised me is a lot of the people bringing these into open are homosexual activists. You would have thought, but they should be wanting to cover up. No. The goal is social engineering. What they're trying to do is have a point of, look, everyone's doing it, so let's just all step out the cupboard and decriminalize it. It's the people, in many cases, broadcasting this in the media, are not doing this like, oh, pedophilia is shocking, pornography is bad. No, they're trying to say we should legalize all of it. Do you remember, for me to deviate just for a moment, Cape Town, the first colored mayor of Cape Town, what was his name? He was National Party, and he was found using the computers in the mayor's office in the city hall for pornography. After Mandela had legalized it. And of course, when this came out, I issued a press statement in the name of African Christian Action saying, wait a minute, if it's bad, why is it legal? How can it be a scandal for a public official to be using it if you've legalized it and you're making it available in schools and you're making it compulsory part of sex education, life skills education in schools, and now a man is to be hounded out of the mayor's office because he did what is legal and which your government was telling us when we were making our submissions to Parliament, there's nothing wrong with it and it's perfectly natural. How two-faced can it be? But you must understand the goal is social engineering. Many of the people screaming about the sex scandals in the Catholic Church don't actually think it's a scandal at all. They're just trying to desensitize people to a point where you can just say there's nothing wrong with it, let's all do it. And that's another part of the scandal. Many of the media and the people involved actually approve of the activities. They're just trying to make it normal. I don't know if that makes sense to everybody because it seems awfully strange way of going about it. But this is part of a civil war in the Catholic Church. Those who believe the Catholic requirement to have celibate priests is what encourages this abuse need to note, and I know this is popular, many Protestants say it's the celibate priesthood that's causing it. Well, the celibate priesthood isn't biblical. Jesus healed the Apostle Peter's mother-in-law. There's only one way to get a mother-in-law. You have to be married. So the Apostle Peter, the first pope, was married. And Paul says, do I not have the right to take a wife with me on my travels like Peter and all the other apostles do? All the apostles had wives who traveled with them, according to this letter of the Apostle Paul. We see in Titus and Timothy that a requirement for a minister, a bishop, a shepherd, an elder, is that he is married. has one wife, and has children brought up in the faith. So obviously Catholicism's wrong on celibacy, but I'd like to say this isn't the reason. The most sexually permissive environment on the planet, Hollywood, is awash in even more horrific scandals than the Roman Catholic Church. Just one name, Harvey Weinstein. Low-life scumbag, yes. But all these women claim to have been abused by him. Mind you, they waited till they'd gotten their Oscars and they had benefited from his endorsements and all the rest of it and his millions. And now they're established before they... So they used him as much as he used them. Doesn't make his crime any less reprehensible. But, you know, it's if you are willing to have an audition in somebody's penthouse at night in their bedroom, how gullible or stupid can you be? As the activist mommy says, this doesn't sound like rape, it sounds like prostitution to me. And activist mommy is not very popular, but this low-life, cocaine-sniffing, pedophile, drug addict, sex abuser, rapist produced the most vile films on the planet. Not just Sin City and Pulp Fiction, but also films like Mandela Long Walk to Freedom. And who's surprised when he can produce pornographic hate films like Inglourious Basterds, which I have not bothered to watch because I know this is just another vile piece of scum from one of the worst pieces of scum on the planet. But in it, he gets Brad Pitt and his friends to beat to death with baseball bats unarmed German prisoners of war just because they're German. And as I said, this is every Jew's wet dream. Bashing the brains out of a blue-eyed, blonde, Aryan with a baseball bat. This is Hollywood. And Weinstein is the face of Hollywood. Hollywood is a pornographic industry that is seeking to defile Christianity. They hate Christ. They bring in blasphemous antichrist swear words into every conceivable place, even when it makes no sense, and it's only going to chase away customers that don't care. They hate Christ. Hollywood is an anti-Christian industry. And you can see from their friends. Barack Hussein Obama loved Harvey Weinstein. Hillary Clinton loved Harvey Weinstein. And so did old Crosby and another pedophile rapist of Hollywood who they lifted up as a role model for everyone. And these are just other of these rapist pedophiles in Hollywood. And there's so many of them. I mean, it's just coming out. We could dirty our screen all night with these pictures. But that's just to point out, this isn't just a Roman Catholic problem. This is a Hollywood problem too. So it's not just the celibate priesthood, unbiblical as that is. The Roman Catholic Church has been hijacked by homosexuals. That's the story. That's the fact. The situation is similar to the anti-Christian Inquisition of the Middle Ages because contrary to public perceptions, the Inquisition was not a group of Christians mercilessly persecuting unbelievers. That's what they would like you to believe. The Inquisition was the exact opposite. Reading the court records of the Inquisitors, such as in Fox's Book of Martyrs, it becomes clear the Inquisitors were by no means Christians at all. You know, do you believe that you can pray directly to Jesus, you know, damning the guy to be burned at the stake? Do you pray in your own language or not in Latin, damned and off to be burned at the stake, and so on. Arguing against wonderful people of the faith on issues such as on biblical doctrines, because they believed biblical doctrines, they were damned to the stake. They would vindictively condemn to death Christians who believed in the Bible, translated the Bible, taught the Bible. They would even contemptuously toss the victim's Bible into the fire to be burned with the martyr. How can anybody say the Inquisition was Christians persecuting non-Christians? Anyone who's read Fox's Book of Martyrs or similar historic records of the cruel persecutions endured by the Waldensians and the Huguenots and other Protestant reformers knows the Inquisition was anti-Christian. They burned at the stake God-fearing people like Joan of Arc, for example. The Inquisition occurred at a time of blatant corruption, when priesthoods, bishoprics, even papal seats could be bought and sold to the highest bidder. There were many ungodly men dominating all levels of leadership in the Roman Catholic Church, and I've got an appendix just on that on the popes of Rome in the greatest century of Reformation, dealing with the vile sins of the popes. As Martin Luther said, everything is legal in Rome except to be an honest man. Every vice is rife there. Far from the Inquisition being Christians persecuting non-Christians, the reality is it was the very opposite. Like Lady Jane Grey, at 15 years old, condemned for believing in the Protestant faith and the Protestant doctrines, and had her head chopped off at age 16 for refusing to renounce the Protestant faith and embrace Catholicism. The Inquisition was an anti-Christian persecution of Protestant believers like Professor Jan Hus. We know from the John Jay Report, 81% of the victims were males, mostly teens. We know that the subclass of predators are almost all male. It is a problem of criminality, but it's a problem of homosexuality even more. This is a predominantly male-on-male crime, primarily with teens between 14 and 17 years old. They are the main victims. Brad Miner, senior editor for The Catholic Thing, Catholic writer, points out that while many cardinals of the Catholic Church are treating the crisis as a public relations problem, it is a problem with criminality. Miner points out that the homosexual element of the abuse scandal, by pointing out that pro-LGBT QRS and so on, Jesuit priest and Vatican advisor Father James Martin downplayed the problem of abuse in seminaries, and he says James Martin doesn't want to hear it, but it is a homosexual problem. Miner pointed out that in 2005, the Vatican document issued under Pope Benedict VI declared homosexual men to be admitted to the seminary. So Pope Benedict saw it as a homosexual problem. And so as soon as John Paul II had died, Benedict brought in a prohibition on homosexuals being adopted, allowed into the seminary. Obviously, he recognized the problem. However, the same people who continue to put increasing pressure on churches to accept homosexuals for ordination and legalize homosexual so-called marriages are the same people who've screamed abuse, when many of the same people that they've been campaigning for turn out to abuse the young boys entrusted to their care. Just take, for example, how the American Boy Scouts have tried for decades to keep homosexuals out of the Scouts, and especially out of the Scoutmasters. And who has been campaigning to get the homosexuals in as Scoutmasters? The very people who will scream abuse and want to have legal payments of the millions by the Scouts when one of those homosexual Scoutmasters abuses the boys. This is insane. It's like us pushing the farmer to allow the fox in the hen house and then prosecuting the farmer for allowing the fox to attack the hens. You know, it's that kind of insanity. You've got openly LGBTQRS promoting homosexuality in the Catholic Church, openly. But then again, you've got old Pope Francis saying the Quran and the Bible are the same. Jesus Christ, Muhammad, Jehovah, Allah, we're all children of God, regardless of the name we choose to address him by. We can accomplish miraculous things in the world by merging our faiths, and the time for such a movement is now. No longer shall we slaughter our neighbors over differences in reference to their God. This sounds like the false prophet for the beast is promoting a one-world religion. It doesn't matter. When people asked about homosexuality, it doesn't matter. God made you like this. God could make you gay. Who am I to judge? He was asked when asked about homosexual marriages. Romans 1. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Miner cites sociologist and clergy abuse expert Richard Sipe, who estimate that at least 30% of Catholic priests in America have homosexual orientations, and amongst bishops could be as high as 50 to 60%. So all these estimates are in the very high, predominant majority. We have to focus on what is the cause of these children, young children, seminarians, continually being abused by predatory priests. That's what we've got to stop. What's causing it? I mean, how simple is that? One of the ways of doing this is disciplining the firing of bishops who've been protecting them for decades, which Pope Francis has not done. This homosexual network that protects and promotes its own is what is causing this continual cycle of abuse in the seminaries, in the rectories, in the sacristies, and even in the schools. People are justifiably terribly angry that people sat on this information, that no action was taken, that priests were put back into circulation. It is a day of reckoning for the Catholic Church. And so it should be for Hollywood, and so it should be for the school system and these other places. And putting out the sign, gays welcome, can he do that? Is the Pope Catholic? We used to have a joke, is the Pope Catholic? Well, I don't think this particular Pope is even Catholic. I think he's a Marxist. He is a liberation theologian. He isn't even Catholic. Not that I think Catholic makes you a Christian, but he's not even a true Catholic by their standards. They all knew. All of them. Liz Yore notes the inappropriateness of the Vatican hosting hundreds of children and young people in Rome this fall to discuss youth, faith, and vocation with the bishops. Considering what has recently come to light in the church abuse scandal, we haven't even resolved this problem, and we're going to be exploiting children at the synod on youth, all to expand the teaching of the church with respect to homosexuality. They wanted to invite youth to the Vatican to meet with the bishops, overnighting them, by the way, and discussing how homosexuality should be integrated in the church. This is not wise. That's what's up. It has to be stopped. It's a danger to the children. It's a danger to the church. It's also a danger to the faith. Again, I'm quoting from a Roman Catholic. Romans 1. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations with unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men. And they received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continued to do these very things, they also proved to those who practiced them. That's all from Romans 1, 24 to 32. But this picture comes from when they legalized homosexual marriage, so-called, in the United States under Obama. The gays in Washington, D.C. had a celebration which included a mock crucifixion of a person dressed up to be like Christ. What did that have to do with it? Everything. This is Antichrist at its core. Tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. Toleration is a device used to introduce a new law system as a prelude to a new intolerance. That's what we're talking about. Gay pride is what got Sodom fried. God hates sin. There are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven things on abomination: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst his brethren. And this homosexualist gay GB bunch, they're doing all of these things. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not allow yourselves to be burdened again by yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. 17 years ago, we produced the Pink Agenda book. It's available still as an ebook, although out of print. So now we've updated, expanded it as the rise of the gay GB and the Pink Inquisition. They won't even be able to quote the title without communicating the key elements of the book. The very first picture we've got in this is of tolerance beating up free speech. And I mean, just a lot of the pictures alone will communicate so much of what we want to say. Now, people who believe, now just people say, gay GB, how do you get this? Well, Goldsmiths University in London, the LGBTQRS society, said people who believe men cannot become women should be sent to Soviet-era labor camps for re-education. This is a news item just come out now. The student group used Twitter to claim that gulags had a positive role in changing the minds of Joseph Stalin's opponents. Estimates of the number of people who died in the Soviet gulags are between tens of millions. On Monday, LGBTQ plus Goldsmiths said an opponent of theirs should be sent to the gulags. Gulag was the acronym for Main Administration of Corrective Labor Camps, which was brought to the world by the Gulag Archipelago, written by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. They then proceeded to clarify what a gulag was, saying the system sought to correct and change people's ways. Corrective thinking. Huh? The thought police at work here. Long short story, friends, they conclude the ideas of anti-trans bigots literally need to be killed and must be eradicated through re-education. I mean, you think we're overstating it, calling it the gay GB and the pink inquisition? They want us to go to the gulags. The Soviet gulag saw over 50 million people incarcerated, with prisoners working as slaves up to 14 hours a day in extreme weather conditions. Tens of millions died hideous deaths in the Soviet gulags. An editorial in the Daily Telegraph in England said the students were rewriting history, while the paper's news article said the students should be derided for being blind to reality. Well, if even Daily Telegraph can see that. So, we're calling it the rise of the gay GB and the pink inquisition. Because this is not about tolerance. This is about promoting intolerance. This has been dealt with very well in Ray Comfort's film, Audacity, showing how, while the culture is changing, our faith should not, and we should know how to boldly protect our children from the gay GB and the pink inquisition, we should know how to present the gospel to those gender-confused people out there who represent a challenge to the church. This is a picture which you got on the back of the book. I wanted a positive picture there. When we march to Parliament, protect the sanctity of marriage, one man, one woman for life. I've got on a table one of our historic newsletters where we tackled the rise of the gay GB and the pink inquisition, a whole different presentation on how they've been prosecuting florists and bed and breakfast owners and bakers and trying to ruin simple people's lives simply for their bizarre agenda. This is also, you notice, the pornography problem. How many of these homosexual predators use pornography to groom their victims? Just like Harvey Weinstein wants to mainstream pornography through Hollywood films, we should understand that the people doing this hate Christ. They hate Christians. They hate us. They want to destroy us. They want to defile us. In fact, they even say, we promote pornography because Christ sucks. We hate Christians. We want to defile their daughters and their sons. That's their quotes. That's what they think. That's why we say Africa Christian Action is on the front lines of the fight for faith, family, and our future. This is what we must be involved in. Brave girl here, standing, quoting the scripture, homosexuality is sin, Christ can set you free. Grievous sin, abomination, filthy, unlawful, vile, and unnatural. Well, that's what the Bible says, but all this is now a thought crime and hate speech, they say. Charles Spurgeon said, concerning homosexuality, this once brought hell out of heaven on Sodom. When I had this radio interview, which we've got the details of also in the book, I had a couple of so-called pastors claiming that Sodom had nothing to do with homosexuality. It was about lack of hospitality. Avoid hell. Repent. Trust Jesus today. I mean, this is first and foremost, let's not let them take us down side paths and red herrings. Let's use it as an opportunity to present the gospel. Scripture abandoned in the culture leads to relative morality, hopelessness, and meaninglessness. We can take to the streets. We've done it before. We've marched 30,000 people to Parliament to present a memorandum to Cyril Ramaphosa himself back in 1995. We marched under Grondwet op Godswet, Constitution upon the Law of God. The people of Cape Town united before to rid our law of evil. We can do it again. We must get our people to stop sleeping and wake up and shake up and call our people back to the Bible. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is a sin issue. It's a sin issue in Hollywood. It's a sin issue in the schools. It's a sin issue in Roman Catholic institutions. Solutions to get back to the Bible. This is what Christian Action has been standing for many years. On our web, we've got a lot more of these details, christianaction.org.za. On the social media, on Facebook, we're putting a lot of audios, videos, and links. We're tackling these issues in the magazines. But now this book is a new weapon. It's to be launched tonight, officially, only just arrived today, and, of course, on the weekend at the same-sex conference that they've got at the RKS in Durbanville. So, other books tackling these things, foundational. We've been trying to be dealing with the cutting edge attacks. We shouldn't just react to the enemy's attacks. We should lay our own foundations positively. Ten Commands, Biblical Principles of Africa. These are some of the resources we try and do. So that we're not just reactionaries, but we are reformers, first and foremost, and evangelists. So, any comments, any questions?
Newest news, I saw today, there's a conference at the Vatican with all these American priests and bishops getting together with the Pope about the scandals there. Oh. Plus, the newest one in Germany, the Spiegel, Doha.
Brought a scandal rag.
Brought a report, and it's in every news media which I've seen. The Roman Catholic Church in the last 50 years, 3,800 children, mostly under the age of 13, being molested by 1,700 priests. The full report will come out
1,700.
On the 25th of September. Then they should be finalized. They're still waiting for people to come forward.
This scandal is
it's
up and running.
It's going to commit suicide. It's not going to retire. It's going to commit suicide.
Well, or be suicided. Which, you remember, there was a pope just before John Paul II, was John Paul I, who, Yollop produced a book in Name of God about the murder of the pope, was there for what, just like 4 months, and suddenly got rid of him, but there's no investigation, no forensics, no autopsy, nothing like that.
Because they could wipe everything under the carpet, and these days are over. Social media, as you said.
That's why
they're
trying to break down on social media, but they can't easily. It's hard. We've got to be. Some people wonder why we've got so many different sites and identities. Well, that's part of it. It makes it harder for them to clamp down on it, because you don't want to just have one centralized anything. Decentralization is our friend. It's their enemy. Yes, this Pope Francis is an evil pope. He is a very evil man. And the way how he came out with a charm offensive at the beginning. You've got to watch out for those sort of things. A Jesuit pope. A liberation theologian from Latin America. Who wants to merge all religions. And the Quran, the Bible are the same. Allah and God are the same. This man is very, very, very dangerous. And the fact that they can be charming doesn't make them any less dangerous. Just makes them more dangerous.
Atheists even like him, because, I mean, you said atheists even go to heaven, because Jesus taught in the Beatitudes that, you know, even if you're meek and poor in spirit and merciful and all these things, you will inherit the kingdom of heaven.
He's not even true to Catholic doctrine. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes, when the world loves somebody, you know that there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. And he's even condemned the death penalty as well. It never, ever is it just give someone the death penalty, which is what does he do with his whole church's history?
Oh, what I loved was him condemning Trump for wanting to build a wall. The biggest walls in the world are around the Vatican. And have you seen the size of those walls? And try and go as a refugee to the Vatican. It's got one of the highest securities in the world and most stringent requirements for getting in. Then he even said that anybody who owned a gun is evil, and so on. And I then published a whole lot of pictures of the Swiss guards and their armory in the Vatican. And he's protected by some of the most professional soldiers on the planet, extremely well equipped. And so they should be. There have been attempts on a Pope's life before. I don't think there's anything wrong with having bodyguards or having firearms. But just the hypocrisy of the man to condemn people that people who own firearms aren't Christians. Well, he's the Pope, and the Vatican's got a phenomenal arsenal. I'd like to have an armory like that. Wow. They've got some great weapons in there.
Just a statement that the Pope is infallible.
Yes.
That means he's not human.
Yes. Well, Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. And this man's called His Holiness. I have real problems with it. In fact, I had my first major big confrontation at Joy magazine over this issue when they put Pope Francis on the cover. I complained verbally, I complained personally, I put it in writing, I gave every objection, said, Roman Catholicism is an extremely dangerous cult. And this Pope is a liberation theologian and he's Antichrist. We cannot put the picture of a Pope on a Christian magazine. I made a big complaint. That was where beginning of the end of our good relationship with Joy magazine, because they love Pope Francis. And they've given him so much promotion. In fact, I believe the picture of Pope Francis hugging some little kid on the cover of the latest Joy magazine. And we've had people phoning and saying, how can they do this? And, well, not very intelligent choice, and I'm sure this picture was chosen before this present crisis. But it's interesting that they would even bring out that picture.
My next door neighbor, he's Roman Catholic, and I bring him all this stuff from Frontline, biblical stuff. He didn't even have a Bible. I organized him a Bible. I said, why don't you get the Bible? I asked him. He couldn't give me an answer. I said, did you ever get a Bible at a Roman Catholic church?
No.
They do not want you to read the Bible. They want you to come to church 365 days a year. Every day is for that and that saint. The priest, I know, I was born and bred.
Yeah.
So I said, now you got the point. Then I gave him a whole lecture about 2.1 billion people being brought to the gates of hell by the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I gave him this one now with a pink LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, and he comes now himself. I heard something on the news. I said, well, it's here on TV. I don't believe it. Every day more and more. I said, you better
let the Holy Spirit beginning.
Change your heart and you get out of this cult. But he's waking up for that.
The Whore of Babylon. I mean, who is the Whore of Babylon? Just turn to Revelation and the colors of the Whore of Babylon. Decks herself out in red and purple, and I mean, it's all Catholic priestly Vatican colors. The whole description, the Whore of Babylon is a religious institution that's actually in bed with the world. Catholicism fits the bill perfectly. The world counts churches as well. I mean, I put the world counts church and the Catholic Church in the same Whore of Babylon category. We need to share this and let it be known, because this is a great opportunity. While they are trying to make this out as a church scandal, well, first of all, this isn't the Protestant church, this isn't the Evangelical church, this isn't the Pentecostal church, this is Catholicism. Not that the same attempts to infiltrate aren't being made with us, but our churches are so decentralized, you couldn't have the same kind of gay mafia intimidating and protecting and promoting these pedophile priests as Catholicism has, because we aren't as centralized. So it's not that we're immune to infiltration, but the centralized system has been the most easy to abuse, because they've got control of the seminaries and they've got control of the Vatican, and therefore they're able to all the way down rot the whole system. This is the Whore of Babylon.
The Enchikak are facing the same problems. They're split in half. The one lot is pro-gay marriage and pro-gay priests, the other one is against it. They're always fighting. Then it's that, then it's that. Anglican church, Tutu, is
well,
both...
they gave in to them early. As you bring up Tutu, historic anecdote. Desmond Tutu, back in 1985, was Bishop of St. Mary's, Bishop of Johannesburg. Desmond Tutu came and ordained the first priest to homosexuals. Now, he wasn't meant to be a homosexual priest, just a priest to homosexuals. 1985 in St. Mary's in Joburg. Within a year, the man had left the priesthood. Within 2 years of being ordained by Tutu, he was dead, killed by his homosexual live-in lover in his flat in Hillborough. That was the first gay priest in the Anglican Church in South Africa, as far as we know. And Desmond Tutu is the one who put his sanction on. Desmond Tutu said recently, you may recall, if homosexuals don't go to heaven, I wouldn't want to go there either. I could never worship a homophobic God. And my thoughts is he doesn't need to worry. Nobody's going to force him to be in heaven with a homophobic God.
He's only one step away now in any case. We won't make it long no more.
That people can say that. But I mean, when you act like that, you're saying, my sexual orientation is more important than who God is. That's idolatry. That's just insanity. Do these people not fear God?
No, they don't.
So this is
openly. Yeah,
yes, it's definitely over. This is not a time for us to be in the defense. This is a time for us to be on the attack, because we've warned before where this is going to lead. They're pushing for it. And the thing is, they push LGBTQ, gay agenda, all this thing. And next thing, abuse. This is abuse from the very things you've been promoting. You promote legalized pornography. You promote legalized homosexual marriages and all this. And you want us to have gays in the scouts. You want us to have gays in the priesthood. And this is the result. Make them own up. Rub their noses in it. This is their mess. They have caused this. And so the secular humanists who are trying their social engineering and the people promoting this LGBTQRS, they are the ones who are 100% responsible, and we shouldn't accept them palming us off as, look at the scandal in the church. It's because their people have hijacked the church. And how dare they try and make it our problem if we're saying, if we would be true to the scriptures, we wouldn't be having these things. And so, well, of course, for someone who's been promoting the Reformation from the beginning, this again points out why the reformers were right, why the papacy is antichrist, why we don't want to be part of the Whore of Babylon, and also why we need to get our churches back to the Bible. Because, as you say, it's not like they are not infiltrating into even reformed and evangelical churches. But, fortunately, they don't have a KGB controlling the whole thing in a top-down centralized structure. Praise God for decentralization for the Reformation. And for congregational self-government, because without that, we'd be in deep trouble. We had in the Church of England Book of Common Prayer put in by Bishop Stephen Bradley that to kneel and to bow when receiving the host in no way implies adoring the host, nor is such allowed. And, you know, it is forbidden, it is idolatry. So, you know, he had in there to warn the people that they don't misinterpret kneeling at the front to receive the Lord's Supper or something like this, that you are in any way adoring the host. So there was this warning, which John Knox was supposed to request put into the original Book of Common Prayer, but Stephen Bradley reinforced it. I also like how Stephen Bradley of the Church of England had in no way affiliated with the World Council of Churches on the church notice boards, on the letterheads, on the church bulletin boards. And that was important because I think we, and it's a pity they've taken away now, because I would want to always make it clear we have nothing to do with the World Council Church, the Southern Council Church, any of these apostates, Whore of Babylon bunch. And this is why a bit of teaching on Revelation does some good, to just bring people back to the fact that those who are promoting a one world government, one world religion, one world economy are antichrist. They're on the side of the beast. We've got to resist. So it's wise for us to not limit our Christianity to preaching on a Sermon on the Mount. We've got to have a certain amount that looks at eschatology and calls people to a spirit of resistance, which you get a lot of in the Minor Prophets. The Minor Prophets speak a lot against idolatry. And God was so serious about it that he made sure that the ark was lost and not only the Ark of the Covenant was lost, and the Ark, but also the bronze serpent that Moses lifted up. And what was the ephod of Gideon? That the Lord made sure that that was destroyed, it ordered to be destroyed. Because the people tended towards some kind of idolatry. At a certain point, even Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed. And the way some people act today, you can understand why it's good that it's gone, because you've got these Christians going and worshipping at this wailing wall in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And it's not even part of the temple. It is nowhere as part of the temple. Jesus said not a stone would be left upon a stone. And archaeologists have made it pretty clear. What the people are standing in front of is a wall of San Antonio, which would have been the fortress of Rome. Because the temple was totally destroyed. This wall they're standing in front of is a wall that would have been part of the fortress that was dedicated to Apollo or Zeus, a Roman god. And therefore, these Christians who make an idol out of the wailing wall, suggesting it's part of the temple, there's no way it's got anything to do with the temple. Jesus said not a stone would be left on a stone.
Why do you think God put that first commandment? I do not
have any
idols. Why?
It's the most important.
Because, no, simple reason. If they don't want to read the other nine, but at least the first one they read, then they know.
what you can contend that thing is the fighting with Michael and Satan over Moses' body. I mean, why did God do that? Nobody knows where Moses' body is, so Israel couldn't go look at Moses as God wanted him, them to look to God. That's why they fought over the body.
John Calvin, for this reason, ordered that he be buried in an unmarked grave. To this day, I don't know where John Calvin's buried. How's that for someone who recognized that the human heart is an idol making factory?
The question would be, I've read somewhere that they have found a kind of sheet that was covering Jesus and things like that.
The Shroud of Turin. The Shroud of Turin. People go and they worship in front of it. I mean, you know, it's vaguely possible that the grave clothes of Jesus were left, but you know,
it's a fake.
When people, well, there's a lot of evidence that it's fake, but there's some amazing things that are hard to explain too. So it's a very good fake. But the point still is, it's dangerous. It's a deception. You don't, when a person gives you a present, you don't get all excited about the wrapping paper. You're meant to get more excited about the content. And you know, the babe in the manger is the important thing, not the manger. And same with the shroud. People can often get busy about different things. I remember being at a sermon where somebody preached on the symbolism of the rainbow around the throne, like an emerald and so on. But, you know, isn't it more important to preach on the one on the throne? So, we easily get into sidetracks. Easily.
The egg that the Holy Spirit laid when the Holy Spirit was a dove can actually still be venerated.
I never heard that.
Mark Luther wrote about one of the 5,800 relics in the Schloss Kirche in Wittenberg. Unreal. No, they had everything, even milk from the Virgin Mary, and bread from the Lord's Supper. The gullibility of people. And it's not like it's over, because you can write into these people who will give you, you know, everything from water from the Jordan River to oil from Mount Olives to, and or a handkerchief that they prayed over. And there's a lot of these people offering these things free to everyone who sends a gift to such as them.
There's about 4,000 churches, Catholic churches, that got the splinter of the wood from the cross of Christ. I don't know how big the cross must have been. Must have been like
they could apparently build an ark out of those pieces of the cross.
My question would be about the gay mafia.
Yes.
Can there any clergy and children in the countries that,
they would have to be more careful. But remember that they've got power of different things. Those people who think the Catholic priest has the power to forgive their sins and also to damn them to hell or give them more time in purgatory and so on, they're going to be very, very careful before they stand up and speak their sin. They've got a position of authority. I've heard in Mozambique even of priests offering to pray for the salvation of people who died if you give them a certain amount of money and things like that. So, this Pope, Francis, offered people indulgences if they followed him on Twitter. Yes! No, unfortunately it's not. It sounds like it's a great joke. I mean, I would have liked this too, but apparently he actually did that. There would be indulgences. They're still offering indulgences for different things, but you follow the Pope on Twitter, you get indulgences, which gets you so many years of purgatory.
I remember in Austria, in our little village, at one specific day, it was St. Christopher's, but at the same time, all the cows as were going up to the Alps, and they got sprinkled with the holy water that they protected. Nothing happens to them. And the cows got sprinkled with holy water. You could buy a St. Christopher's medal to hang in a car that you are protected against accidents. Costs you money, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And it costs you money. And all that kind of nonsense.
So what we've got, that what Justin Peters is exposing in his call for the sermons, is a charismatic version of the kind of superstitions and indulgences and abuses and financial exploitation that the Catholic Church has been doing for centuries. So it's nothing particularly new. And the gullibility of people when it comes to religion is shocking. And why is there so many warnings in the Bible against do not be deceived, and warnings against false prophets, and warnings against false shepherds, and warnings against false teachers. Lots of warnings. And that even the elect of God could be deceived, if that was possible. So there's a lot of warnings about this. And that we've got so many Christians totally, totally undiscerning and assuming that gullibility is virtuous before God. And surely our alarm bells should be going off when the world that hates Christ and promotes pornography, prostitution, gambling, abortion, euthanasia, blasphemy, that same world is supporting something. Shouldn't we say, maybe there's something wrong here? And the world loved Mandela, and they loved and love Pope Francis, and so on and so forth. It's just extraordinary. We should not fall for this. If the world is promoting it, we should say, I'm against it.
That's right.
It's always the same thing. Mm-hmm. Basic rule of thumb. If the world's for it, we're against it. Jesus said, if they love you, if they love me, they'll love you. If they hated me, they'll hate you too. So if the world loves you, you're doing something radically wrong. Good. Any other comments? Yes.
I think the evidence is overwhelming that the Roman Catholic Church is a major cult. Even before this information came out on the gay priests and all the abuse that we've heard about. As well before that, it's a major cult.
Yes, we could just open up Revelation 19, speaks about this whole Babylon and mother of all abominations on earth. Mm. And, you know, you don't have to dig very far into it and you find the Vatican has been a cesspool of vice for as long as it's existed. Mm. There's nothing about it that's holy. Yes. It's not the Church of Christ. Mm. It's a false church. Now, that's not to say that you don't have real followers of Christ that are in the Catholic Church that are coming out. After all, let's remember, Martin Luther was Roman Catholic, as was Wycliffe and Huss and Zwingli. But they left. Yes, they all left, of course, Tyndale. So we're not saying Roman Catholics can't be saved. When I had a Catholic priest asking, are you saying Roman Catholic can't be saved? I said, oh, no, goodness, I never said that. I said, some of the finest Christians in the world have been Roman Catholic. Like Wycliffe, Huss, Luther, Tyndale, Zwingli, Calvin. And he said, but they left the Catholic Church. They did, didn't they? I mean, that's the point. We're not saying Roman Catholics can't be saved. Of course they can be saved. The Protestant Church grew out of it. But they will leave at a certain point. So because Bibles are available, and because many of them may be exposed to teachings from the Word of God by different sources, we expect that there may be many followers of Christ within the Roman Catholic Church. But they've got to be getting super uncomfortable. And they will have to leave at a certain point, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. And so this is plainly, we shouldn't treat Catholics as our enemies. They call us separated brethren. We can call them brothers-in-law. But the thing is, they need to distance themselves from this antichrist system. Catholicism says that they are the holy bride of Christ, and the Pope is his holiness. I mean, all that's blasphemous. We've got to, this is a great time to be promoting a Reformation message, because the vileness of Catholicism and its false teachings and the fruits of it is becoming very obvious. This is an excellent time for evangelism of Catholics. I've put an article there that I wrote after a debate with Roman Catholics at a Catholic school against a priest there. So that message to Roman Catholics is on the table. We've got a few things here also dealing with gays, bisexuals, homosexuals in the Bible, and other tracts like lukewarm Christians make God sick, reclaiming surrendered ground. So these are all just some practical tools we can use in evangelism. Mm-hmm. We need to reach the homosexuals of Christ, we need to reach the Catholics of Christ. Yes.
If we made this information on this homosexuality and the abuse of the Roman Catholic Church to a great extent and to the current Catholics, Roman Catholics, if they are awakened, they will get a wake-up call as well.
I believe so.
Definitely, yes. Because they cannot really say they are awakened and accept all views what's been happening so far.
Yes, I mean, do you know there are Catholics who have already split from Rome? For example, Mel Gibson's part of a Catholic group that's split from the Pope and believes the Pope is not legitimate. Interesting. So there are groups of Catholics of different sorts too, but of course many Catholics who become Protestants, obviously. Yeah. Lutherans just come to mind.
All these are. Yes. What's also shocking is this: we have cases of abuse. But how come some of these so-called trainees or students that are going to the seminary still got abused but still remained over there? Now,
how do you explain that? There's a lot of mind control. There's a lot of power. It could also be they've invested a certain amount, or maybe it's become comfortable. Maybe they like it. Many people. Why would you want to go into a profession that requires you to be unmarried for life, unless that was your natural inclination in the first place? So for some people it could represent a sacrifice, but for others it might be, well, it's a good escape from people who lost, why are you married, and things like that. So it could have been, over the years, you'd expect a disproportionate amount of people who are more homosexually inclined, whether they gave into it or not, might enter the Catholic priesthood. But once you had these unregenerate homosexual activists and predators gaining more and more control, you could imagine, become self-perpetuating. They abuse, and abusers become abusers, and and after a while, it's like the mafia. We all protect one another. Code of silence, all that
stuff. To remain in that environment, basically, salvation is further through the minds.
Oh, well, that's why Catholics on the inside are saying many of these people have sold their souls to the devil. Many are secret atheists and even Satanists. So, spiritual warfare, serious battles. Let's bring these matters before the Lord. Let's pray. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. We thank you, Lord God, that even as Satan is mobilizing his people for one world religion, one world government, one world economy, we praise you, Lord God, that you are working to undermine all of this. We thank you, Lord, that as we pray for your will to be done on earth, we are also praying for Satan's plans to be exposed, to be defeated, to be smashed, to be brought to naught, that the wicked will fall into the traps they've dug for others. We pray, Lord God, that you'd cause the wicked to condemn themselves with their own mouths. We thank you, Lord God, for the fact that you are continually working all things together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We thank you, Lord God, that bad times are good for spiritual work, and that we can use these times of crisis and scandal, which is doubtless being orchestrated by the world for their own social engineering plans. But Lord, may we be able to open people's eyes to the wickedness of their agenda and to the vile fruit of disobedience to your word. We pray, Lord God, that you will help us to point people away from Catholicism, away from homosexuality, away from the ways of Hollywood and the world, away from the New World Order, and back to the Bible. We thank you, Lord God, that your law is perfect, that it converts the soul, that it's a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ, that we can be justified by faith. Have mercy upon us, Lord God. Guide us, guide our conversation. Help us, Lord God, even this weekend, as we have conversations with people, whether it's at the Homeschool Expo, or at this conference. Help us, Lord God, as we deal with friends, strangers, neighbors, colleagues, people that brought across our path, and people might be discussing what is in the news headlines. Help us, Lord God, to point people back to your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the conqueror, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the eternal judge, the one who will return to destroy all the forces of Antichrist. And we pray, Lord God, that you will help us to be faithful to your word, loyal in the battle where the battle rages. Help us, Lord God, to be steadfast and standing firm for what the scriptures teach and calling people back to you in repentance and faith. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.